Do you like birds? Do you like knowledge? Well, my friend, you find yourself in the right place. Welcome to Blurbs, a podcast about birds. Hi, I'm Matt, bird enthusiast from New Zealand. Let's get into it. It's March 21st, 2007, at Rainy Creek, Reefton, near the top of the South Island of New Zealand. A haunting call is heard, and a bird is seen approximately 10 metres away with orange and blue wattles. It pecks at the surrounding moss, amalgamating it into larger clumps. This encounter occurs for only 30 seconds, but has now become the last accepted sighting of the South Island kokako, a bird that in that very same year had been declared extinct due to no other confirmed sightings since 1967. In 2012, this 2007 sighting, along with 10 other reports from 1990 onwards, was submitted to the Records Appraisal Committee of the Ornithological Society of New Zealand and used to upgrade the status of the South Island kokako from extinct to data deficient. These reports all met the criteria of a close sighting, defined as within 10 metres through the naked eye or 50 metres through binoculars, with wattles clearly being observed at the base of the bill for a minimum of 3 seconds. There are no photographs of a live South Island kokako and no confirmed recordings of its call. It has been described by Jeff Norman in his book Bird Stories as surviving in the form of an occasional tantalising glimpse or a snatch of distinctive song. The South Island kokako is currently on Ari Wild's top 25 most wanted lost species list, an initiative started in 2017 that aims to assist in the location and protection of species previously lost to science. There is even a $10,000 reward being offered by the South Island Kokako Charitable Trust for irrefutable evidence of its existence. This could be in the form of a photo, video, or even a feather. There is a lot of interest in finding this bird, and today we are talking about what we know that may assist in its rediscovery. Kokako are in the family Calliidae, also known as the New Zealand wattle birds due to the colourful, fleshy droops, aka wattles, at the base on each side of the bill. Other members of this family include the saddleback, Māori name Taiki, and the extinct Huia. The Taiki and Huia share morphological similarities. However, the kokako is more morphologically distinct. It has been suggested that this indicates that the kokako was the first species to diverge from the Calliidae common ancestor. They are bluish-grey birds with black facial masks that extend from the base of the bill to the forehead and eyes, are between the size of a tui and New Zealand pigeon, Māori name kereru, and live in native New Zealand forest, preferring areas with a more continuous tree canopy. Kokako call with organ and bell-like notes, usually of descending pitch. Their song has been described as beautiful but haunting. Kokako have relatively small wings and so are not strong flyers. They do, however, have relatively long, strong legs and so prefer to run, leap, and hop their way through the forest, with occasional gliding as needed. They eat insects, berries, and leaves, and feed like parrots, holding food in one claw while using the other to balance on a perch. Kokako, alongside the more common kereru, are the only birds with mouths big enough to eat the seeds of certain New Zealand native trees. Thus, they play an extremely important role in seed dispersal. Kokako are endemic to New Zealand, but are now rare in the wild due to the introduction of mammalian predators, such as stoats, weasels, and rats, alongside competition for food by possums. Luckily, translocation to offshore island sanctuaries is helping to keep the North Island species away from extinction. However, as we have talked about today, the fate of its South Island counterpart is unknown. I was actually lucky enough to see a North Island kokako on Te Rere Matangi Island in Auckland's Hauraki Gulf. I had never really paid too much attention to this bird, even though it's on the New Zealand $50 note. But when it hopped along right in front of us and let us get close up as it ate berries, I was absolutely amazed. You can see a picture that my girlfriend took of this bird on my Instagram, matt.rossella, that's matt.rossella. It was this picture that made me want to start photographing birds myself. The encounter definitely started a fascination with the kokako for me. Its colour and facial features seem extremely unique amongst the characteristics of other New Zealand birds. So what's the difference between the North and South Island species? Well, South Island kokako are slightly smaller. However, the main visual difference is that the South Island variety have orange wattles with blue bases, whereas in the North Island variety, the wattles are completely blue. Wattles begin to form after 1 week, and at least in the North Island kokako, are initially pink when these birds are nestlings, and gradually change colour as they fledge. North Island kokako are heard mostly at dawn, where they find a perch to call from, and reports indicate this time of day is also when the South Island kokako has been known to be the most vocal. The South Island kokako has been reported to be found close to the ground at the edge of bush, or in open glades by rivers. It was once widespread across most of the South Island, and also present on Resolution and Stevens Islands. We talked about Stevens Island in the last podcast episode pertaining to the New Zealand wrens. Check that out for a unique extinction story that could have so easily been avoided. The majority of recent South Island kokako sightings have been in the west of the South Island, but reports have also come from the Marlborough Sounds and the Catlins as well, areas located at opposite ends of this island. Rainy Creek in Reefton, the area of the last accepted sighting, has had a cluster of reports, with 6 different observers believing they have either seen or heard a South Island kokako within a 1.5 kilometre radius. This is certainly where I would start looking. So if the South Island kokako still exists, why has it been so hard to locate definitive evidence? 2 main reasons have been posited. First, kokako have a low vocal output. Pairs usually remain in close visual contact and so have reduced need for calling, thus staying silent for long periods of time. This also impairs the ability of searchers to use playback of bird calls to provoke them out of hiding. Secondly, there is likely to have been a shift in their behaviour towards shy and secretive as a result of natural selection following the introduction of mammalian predators. This type of behaviour was documented in South Island kokako even back in the 1960s and has been shown to be a heritable trait in other types of bird. This gives hope of their survival, as the rate of reporting, sitting at approximately 2 per year, is in line with other cryptic, aka secretive, and hard to find species. Finally, let's summarise what to look for when searching for a South Island kokako. This expands on information we have already discussed and is courtesy of southislandkokako.org. Quickfire, here we go. Size, larger than a tui, smaller than a pigeon. Shape, long legs, short tail, short rounded wings, short beak with a downward curve. Colour, dark grey to grey blue all over, a black facial mask with orange wattles that can range from straw to red. Feathers may also contain a feature called an afterfeather. This is an additional, smaller feather that's attached at the base. If this is long, comprising at least 90% of the length of the main feather, then you could be onto a winner, as this characteristic may only be found in the Calliope family. Movement, primarily hopping, bounding, or running. Most likely to be active between April to early June, and between October and December, in native forest of the South Island of New Zealand. Song. Sharp clarity when compared to other songbirds, producing flute-like notes that have a hollow quality, very wind instrument-esque. They also produce a noise that sounds like tuk. Behaviour. A call from a South Island kokako may elicit an increase in the number of bellbirds singing, and also change their dialect from multiple note songs to repetitive single note bells. Grouped clumps of moss that have been neatly clipped at the base without soil or litter attached are also thought to be a sign of the South Island kokako. This is called moss grubbing and may be in relation to food or perhaps as part of a mating display. So, has this episode inspired you to go out and search for the South Island kokako? I certainly want to give it a go. As always, if you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/blurbs439. The link is also on my Instagram, matt.rossella. My goal currently is to get enough support that I can dedicate one workday a week to this project. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to create another episode, and I'll see you next time. Dee 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 dee, blurbs.